wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
What must I do? My message is on your personal responsibility on what you must do. Yes, I said you, and that's what I mean. I also said must, and I mean it. For this is a must with every one of us. It is must or else. Come with me to a big bank. We'll get in line at the teller's window. Just ahead, there's a woman. At the window, she hands in a check marked, "Pay to the order of Mary King." And the amount is at $1,000. The depositor's account is well able to take care of that amount. Her identifications are clear, so the teller hands it to her for her endorsement, and he prepares to pay it. But she refused to endorse it. An argument follows, and the bank cashier is called. She demands the $1,000 and points to the words, "Pay to the order of Mary King." But she's told, "We will pay you the money if you endorse the check. Your endorsement is your confession that you are Mary King. We must have that." But she still refuses to do anything herself, and in her folly leaves with a worthless piece of paper because she wouldn't do what would make it worth $1,000 to her. What would you do? Just laugh at her and call her crazy? I would run after her and try to explain to her what she ought to do and just how to do it and get the money. Neighbor, I want to be that kind of a friend to you today. The depositor had worked hard for that $1,000 and the check was good. Mary King was not asked to work to earn it, but there was one thing she must do, and Mary King was the only person who could do that. And so it is with God's salvation. God has a part and you and I have a part. God has perfectly done his part, but it will do us no good until we shall do our part. Now don't confuse matters and you try to do God's part instead of doing your own part. That confusing abounds in the religious world. So many are working to provide salvation. That is an insult to Jesus Christ and to his finished work of salvation. If Mary King were to write a check to look like the depositors, the check would be worthless and she would be thrown into jail as a criminal. So will God do with all those who try to imitate the work that Christ has done. If you are doing your works to provide salvation, then you are a presumptuous criminal before God's throne. You are more guilty than a man who tries to make counterfeit money, for you are trying to counterfeit Christ's atonement for sin. Now let's leave the bank and go to church. They are also pleased with their new preacher, for he tells them all the nice things in the Bible of what God has done. He dwells on the blessings God has for us, and even the Christians are thrilled while they go home to have their big Sunday dinner and to enjoy themselves for the rest of the day. But no time for prayer or for seeking the lost. I tell you, if we don't get off that crutch of our positional blessings, Christians will all lie around like spiritual gluttons and die on their feet with spiritual pellagra for lack of a balanced diet. We need ministers who will tell us what God expects us to do, as his children to obey him, as his witnesses to tell the lost of Christ, as his servants to labor for him, and as his people to show forth his virtues by lives of self-sacrifice, denying ourselves and living for Christ our Lord. God has given us his word, the Holy Bible. It is perfect. It is divine. And it is all we need to live a godly life. But it will do us no more good than a piece of paper unless we do something ourselves. We must read it, study it, meditate in it, and practice it. Neither God nor preacher can do it for us. I must do it for myself, and you must do it for yourself, or else. And now a new curse has fallen into the camp of sinners. Once preachers told people they had to be baptized and join the church to go to heaven. But God raised up faithful preachers of the gospel, and they blasted such religious nonsense as they held up to a lost world Christ and his atoning blood. So the devil has now turned God's truth into a subtle lie, and the old boy fills the pulpit and tells the people of the wonderful Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross. And by that time, he has everyone's confidence. And then he winds up his sermon thus, and since Jesus died for everyone, then everyone will be saved. You know a merciful God will take everyone to heaven. This universal salvation lie takes off millions with its appealing deceit, but it still leaves those fundamental believers who will be hard for the devil to fool. But even with them, he's gotten the victory. How'd he do it? He visited the colleges and seminaries with his new streamlined sermons, and he sold them to preachers and would-be preachers. His cunning deceit spread in every direction as he instructed preachers that they could tell people of Christ as the only Savior, of his atoning blood, and that would make them fine in the eyes of the Orthodox members, and then tell people that all they have to do is just accept it, and they're saved forever, and can never be lost, and impress them with this, that they do not have to give up anything, but just accept God's plan of salvation. This modern deception blazes from the pulpits today, and it feeds the eternal flames of hellfire. One crowd swallowed the universal salvation lie, and the other came only a hair from it, for they say you only have to accept it. That little hair is the only difference. Now, neighbor, I have shown you that you must do something or be lost forever. I hope you cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" In the fear of God, I tell you the truth. We dare not shortcut God's terms of salvation. God has done his part. He loved us. He planned salvation for us, and he gave his beloved son for us. His part he has perfectly done, and yet millions are now in hellfire. Christ has done his part. He gave himself. His blood he laid down in complete sacrifice to atone for sin. He finished once and for all the work of salvation. His part he has perfectly completed, and yet millions are lost. The Holy Spirit has done his part. He wrote the Bible, a complete revelation of God to man. He empowers God's servants to preach. He convicts the world of sin and regenerates those who turn to Christ. His work he has done, and he's still doing perfectly. And yet millions go on in their sins. The failure is with man. Evangelists, personal workers, and Sunday school teachers have worked, some faithfully and others only in part. But even if they had done their work perfectly, yet still men would be held down. Why? They must take action for themselves. The preacher's gospel or the parents' prayers will not save them. So now it is, what must I do? Yes, you, neighbor, must do it or else. But what is it? First, you must repent. Have you done that? The Lord Jesus said, "I tell you, except you repent, you shall all perish." In repentance, you condemn yourself as a lost sinner, deserving to be punished in hellfire for your wicked sins. In repentance, you turn away from your sins, loathing them and seeking God's mercy and deliverance from them. You cannot bypass repentance. It is a must. You will never be saved except you repent. Second, you must surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord, L-O-R-D. You have been your own boss, doing your will, living for yourself, walking the way of the world, and now you must resign self in the world and confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord for you to do his will and obey him. On that Damascus road, Saul cried, "Lord." He called Jesus his Lord. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He waited for his first command. Neighbor, is Jesus Christ your Lord? When did you make a complete surrender to him? The Bible offers you salvation if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. That is what it takes. It is a must. No one can confess for you. You must do it. Third, you must trust yourself wholly to Jesus to save you, committing yourself to him alone for salvation. No longer relying on yourself or any works of yours. No longer trusting in your church or your religion, but trusting Jesus alone, absolutely alone, for salvation. Neighbor, these three things you must do, and you can do them. It took an eternity for God to do his part and for Christ to do his part, an eternity of judgment condensed into 3 hours. But your part you can do today, this very hour. Neighbor, come with me to that place called Calvary. We see two dying thieves. They both saw Jesus die, yet one went from Calvary to hellfire, and the other went to paradise. Why the difference? There was something each one must do for himself. One did it, the other did not. Each could, each must, but only one did it. One thief truly repented as he cried, "We indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds." And he did surrender to Jesus as his Lord and King. Hear his confession, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he definitely committed himself to Jesus to save him. But the other thief saw the cleansing blood of Christ, heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Listen to his triumphant shout, "It is finished." Yet he went in his sins to eternal damnation. You can learn about Christ and his blood atonement and count it true, but so long as there is no repentance, no surrender, no saving faith, so long as you do nothing, the devil that got that thief knows that he will get you too. Every industrious person, whether the mother in the home or the man in his business, sees much that needs to be done. What should be done first? Two things decided. First, what is the most important and will bring the greatest benefit to me? Second, what if I neglect to do it now will cause me the greatest loss? Now apply this, not just to your household or your business, but to yourself personally. First, surely nothing is so important to you than to get right with God and to know that all is well between your God and your precious soul. And second, if the matter of your eternal soul is set aside, it will bring upon you an eternal loss that can never be repaired, and suffering the wrath of Almighty God forever. I have shown you what you must do. Now, will you do it or not do it? Your eternal soul lies in the balance. Our Lord Jesus said, if a man lose his own soul, you will lose it forever if you fail to act now on God's provided salvation. Make your choice. Take action now. God's eternal salvation in Christ will only be yours when you have done what you must do. It can be your experience when? Now. For God's word says now is the day of salvation. When? Today. For the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Be in time, God's time. This is God's time to save you. But the must awaits your response, your action. An eternity in heaven or in hellfire is at stake. Linger not. Don't hesitate. Be not indifferent. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Get alone with God right now, and in all sincerity and earnestness, pour out your heart to God in words like these. Oh my God, I come to thee, repenting of my many sins against thee. I deserve thy punishment in everlasting fire, but I plead with thee to have mercy on me for Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus Christ, I do resign all my rebellion in going my own way, and I now surrender to thee to be my Lord, to do thy will. I am lost and cannot save myself. Thou didst come to save lost sinners, and now I will trust in thee alone to save me and make me what will be to thy glory and praise, Lord Jesus. That cry will move the heart of God, and that confession will link you with the Lord Jesus Christ, so you can say, "I am my Lord's, and he is mine forever." Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.